Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
This is Dan Darling again, back with our series, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. I hope you're enjoying this series as we kind of go through some key scriptures to help us cope with kind of what we're facing. This is an unprecedented time, I think, in our country. Many people have serious doubts about the economy. They are worried about their friends and loved ones or themselves contracting the virus. Perhaps you're a healthcare worker who's in the trenches in places like New York and Louisiana and Washington State. Or maybe you're around the world and you're in a place like Italy or France where it's infections have really spiked and there's a rising death toll. And there's a lot of uncertainty and fear about what's ahead. Today, as I record this morning, got the news that the Summer Olympics was canceled. So you know that we're in a really unprecedented time if the Summer Olympics, which has only been ever canceled because of war. And so how should Christians really grapple with this? I myself have been kind of struggling with uncertainty and fear of what's ahead. And today's passage is from Psalm 37. And this is a familiar passage to many of us. But how do we trust God with an uncertain future? And I just want to read here from verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Dwell in the land and live securely. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for Him. Do not be agitated by one who prospers in his way, by the person who carries out evil plans. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Don't be agitated, it can only bring harm. For evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. There's just so much richness here for a time of uncertainty. David first says, trust in the Lord and do what is good. You know, sometimes when things are so up in the air and we don't know what the future is going to look like, even the immediate future, we can easily just kind of let that uncertainty grip us. I know I do. And times like this kind of cause us to slow down a bit and maybe just do what's the next right thing. What's in front of me today? Trust in the Lord and do what is good. What can I do good today? How can I trust the Lord today? Take delight in the Lord. He will give you your heart's desires. Now, a lot of times we use this passage wrongly, as if, you know, if I trust the Lord and have faith in Him, He's going to give me whatever I want. That's not really what the passage is saying. The passage is saying, if you take delight in the Lord, if you allow the Lord to shape and mold your heart, if you're in the scriptures, if you're in the word, if you're being formed by the word of God, your heart gradually forms to God's heart. In other words, our hearts change. And then the desires of our heart become the desires of God's heart. And then God gives us what's in our hearts. Does that make sense? So it's not saying trust in the Lord and He'll give you whatever you want. It's saying trust in the Lord and draw close to Him, and your desires will change and God will give those to you. And there becomes a point in your life where what you want is what God wants. I think that's very important for us, that you don't want the things that you shouldn't want. You want the things that God wants. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. commit your way to the Lord. Commit your future to the Lord. Commit your plans to the Lord. Commit your finances to the Lord. Commit your life to the Lord. And He will act. The Lord will act. Making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. God will act. We have to tell ourselves, you know, if I'm God's child and He loves me and cares for me, He's not going to leave me helpless. Doesn't mean we won't go through suffering and hardship. Doesn't mean we will not experience loss. Doesn't mean things won't get grim and hard as they have. I mean, I think of Christians around the world who have better faith than I do, who are facing just perilous times and persecution because of their faith. I think of Christians in refugee camps and other places. Their life would not be what we would describe as the good life. And yet, the Bible says God will act on our behalf if we trust in Him. And in many ways, God has already acted in Jesus. Dr. Russell Moore, who I work for, has a habit of saying that the worst thing that has happened to you has already happened, and that you were a sinner facing the wrath of God, and you were headed for hell, and God did act and intervened in Jesus to save you and give you a future as if in the kingdom of God. And so we do have to think that way. This is not a trite phrase or easy saying. This doesn't mean we don't lament and grieve and suffer loss. We should. The Psalms are filled with that human emotion of grieving and crying out to the Lord and asking Him why He's doing the things that He's doing and what's going on. But we have to trust that we can commit our way to the Lord. The Lord knows our paths. He directs our steps. And then verse 7, be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for Him. I have to tell you, this is one of the hardest things for me to do, is to be silent before the Lord. I'm an active person. I like to read. I like to study. I like to keep up with what's going on. It's hard for me to just put those things down, to put down my phone, to put down social media and the constant news reports, especially in a time like this, and just be silent before the Lord. It's hard for us to just sit and with our thoughts. But all of this time at home, all this time sequestered in our homes, quarantined, is giving us a lot of times or opportunity for silence. We should take it. It says, wait expectantly for Him. In other words, wait with anticipation. Wait, believing God will do something. Believing God will act. Believing if God has called us to do something, if He's given us a mission, He will equip us to do this. It says, don't be agitated by the one who prospers in his way, by the person who carries out evil plans. Maybe you're looking around saying, I am following Christ as the best I can with my family, and yet here I am. People are getting sick. I'm suffering economic hardship. I've done everything the Lord's asked me to do. I'm thinking of pastors right now who had really bold visions for their church this year, wanting to really reach their communities with the gospel and help the vulnerable in their communities, things God wants us to do. And yet this pandemic rips through. We don't have church services for several weeks. Finances are dwindling. And if you're a pastor, you're thinking, I sought your face, Lord, and I'm doing everything to follow, to step into mission for you. Why are you doing this? And yet it says, don't be agitated. Don't let this tear away at your faith. Don't be restless. Don't be anxious. And especially it says, don't be agitated by one who prospers in the way. Sometimes it seems like the wicked prosper. People with nefarious motives, people who are not good people, people who take advantage of others, who take advantage of the vulnerable. Why do they continue to prosper while the good people just keep getting punished? Don't be agitated by the one who prospers in his way, by the person who carries out evil plans. There are people who carry out evil plans who continue to thrive, even in a difficult time right now. Don't be agitated. Refrain from anger and give up your rage. Man, that is just really a word that's convicting. Sometimes I read news reports or I see what people are posting online about this coronavirus, and I get angry because maybe there's misinformation about the virus, or there's kind of a lack of care and compassion for the many people who are out of work and displaced because of all the shutdowns, or maybe there's just tone deaf or unsympathetic things that people say, or there's actual just incompetency or evil policies that maybe politicians are putting forward. And it's easy to just be bound up with anger and rage. And we have to come back to the Lord and be silent before Him and not be agitated by them. Maybe you're working with somebody that's making you angry because they're not doing things the way they should be doing it. Or there's a family member that's right now driving you crazy. I'm guessing with all of us quarantined together as families for long periods of time, there's going to be opportunities to be agitated and have anger and rage. And we have to give that up, it says. It can only bring harm. In other words, there's really no good or benefit to rage, to misplaced rage. Look, we should have passionate feelings about righteousness and justice. It's okay to be angry at times at injustice. But most of the time, if we are honest with ourselves, our rage and our anger is not righteous anger. It's not Jesus in the temple cracking whips on the money changers, although we like to think it is. It's not the prophets in the Old Testament calling out evil. We like to think that's who we are. We like to look in the mirror and think that's me. But most of the time, it's a kind of sinful anger and a lack of grace and compassion for the people God has called us to love and to live with. He says, why can we refrain from anger and agitation, even at injustice? How can we not just be all bound up and caught up in this misplaced anger and rage? It says, because evildoers will be destroyed. Those who put their hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked person will be no more. So we release our desire for vengeance and for justice to the Lord. And the Lord will get vengeance. The Lord will make all things right. If we believe that God is real, if we believe that Jesus is coming back again one day to renew and restore the world, to set up and fully consummate His kingdom, if we really believe that Jesus is going to keep His promises, then we don't have to be caught up in anger and rage. We can be silent before the Lord. We can have an otherworldly peace in us while the rest of the world is melting down. Again, this doesn't mean that we don't have emotions. It doesn't mean we don't suffer trauma. It doesn't mean that things aren't hard. When I read the scriptures, I see a lot of good, faithful saints who went through difficult times and cried out to the Lord. But there should be a kind of a peace that envelops us as we trust in the Lord with an uncertain future. So, to sum it up, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. You may not know the path ahead. I may not know the path ahead. You may not know what's in front of you. I may not know what's in front of you. But the Lord does. He knows the next steps. He knows the next season. He knows where you're going to be, what's going to happen. He knows about your finances. He knows about your family. And He cares more about them than even you do, than even I do. So let's take heart that God cares for us. From Psalm 37. Thank you again for joining me for this podcast series, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus.
Thanks for listening to Christians in a Time of Coronavirus, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you like what you've heard today, we hope that you'll share our podcast with your friends. And we'd love for you to leave us a review so more listeners can find us. To learn more about Dan Darling's books, projects, and podcasts, head over to his website, DanielDarling.com, or check out the show notes of this episode. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and me, Stephen McGarvey. It was edited by Stephen Sanders. For more Faith Toolkit podcasts, head over to lifeaudio.com.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.